So now I'm obsessed with time. Come on, tell me about the time. Had it all in my head tonight. Had the time of my life. When the words
are
done, like blues on Tuesdays, calm down. Throw it all away.
Welcome to another episode of American Timelines. I'm Amy.
I'm Joe!
And today we have a special guest.
We do. We have a special guest all the way.
What's your name, sir?
Franklin Pierce Nipples.
Yes, it's Franklin Pierce Nipples.
Okay. Boom.
No, my name's Andy.
Oh, it's Andy.
And this is Joe's brother, Andy. So yeah. I am officially ganged up on.
If you think back to episode 3, we mentioned him briefly that he had a giant head and that he graduated high school in 92.
Yes.
That's right.
And so...
This episode, we are delving into 1997.
Yes, which was a year after I met Amy.
That's right.
This is episode 8. This is the year that Amy and I fell in love.
True magic love.
We that's made right. out under a tree in front of an elementary school.
That's right.
And that's not weird because the school is not in session.
That's right.
So let's delve right into 1997, shall we?
What happened?
I moved to California.
Oh, you moved to California in 1997 from
Ohio. 1997. Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday. The Green Bay Packers won, I believe.
Fuck the Packers.
I don't think it was the Seattle. I can't remember.
It was the Patriots because it's in my. Oh, okay. It's in my.
He's got plenty of sports. Just don't you worry
Actually,
about that.
Actually, we're skipping over the super much of the Super Bowl because I don't want to talk about the stupid Packers.
Thank God for me.
Well, thank God for me, too, because I hate the Packers.
That's right.
Packers really weren't that great. It all just happened to be luck, and they're terrible. And
all
I
right. So what happened in 1997?
Bands that formed in 97 and bands that broke up in 97. So I'm going to do formed first. And Andy knows probably a little bit more about music than we do, so this might be good. He'll like
he
tell
might
us
know.
Who some of these are. So 97, the following bands formed. And sometimes it's, Andy, for your knowledge, sometimes it's surprising that, oh, shit, that band was around then or whatever.
Yeah.
So here are the bands of note that formed in 1997.
All right.
Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, yeah.
They formed.
You know who that is? I don't remember what they sing.
I don't think you would know. I looked up all their songs. I don't know a single one. It just sounds like Brant Fundek's music.
It is.
Which is
I believe Brant Fundek introduced me to them.
It's like alternative nerd rock.
Okay.
It's like
nerd
the
music.
Pop stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's very dramatic stuff. Ben Gibbard, I think, is the lead singer's name.
I think that's right.
He also was in a band called the Postal Service. That was like a one-hit wonder, like a thing where he did an album with some other guy whose name I can't remember. They like just send it through the mail to each other.
Well, you're just worthless for information.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He's going to give us
I've got a couple of Death Cab albums.
Part of the theme of this podcast is that we don't
that
know
we don't know anything,
anything
and we don't really care.
You want me not to know anything?
No, it's good.
Yeah,
it's actually
really
adding a different thing. So
we
we're going to be able to be like, hey, keep that guy who knows stuff on because you guys are idiots.
We don't check to see if anything is right. We just we heard something happened and we go with it.
Yeah, we just like, I think this is the truth. And then we just say it and then that's why we have so many corrections and apologies. But this is good.
I understand.
But this is good info. So Destiny's Child formed in 1997.
Oh, yeah.
One of their first hits was called Bugaboo, where they mention MCI and they want AOL to make their email stop.
Okay.
They don't want emails?
Because the guy is a bugaboo. Like, because he gave
bugaboo.
Like, 20 minutes after I give you my number, you already have my mailbox full.
Oh, because he's bugging them with email.
Bought a pair of shoes. Yeah, I know.
Bugaboo. Bugaboo. I didn't know that was Destiny's Child. I only know that song from Andy O. singing it. Bugaboo. A bugaboo.
That's funny.
I have a question about Destiny's Child, if you guys know.
What?
I recently came across someone named Solange.
Yeah.
That's Solange Beyonce's
Knowles.
Sister, right?
It's her mom, isn't it?
No, it's her sister, I believe.
See, if you weren't here, we would go ahead.
We would say,
here's the thing about Amy. What? She'll be wrong, but she goes full wrong. And she swears up and down. She was like, Lisa Marie Presley was married.
No.
Or Drew Barrymore was married to Michael Jackson. I'm sure of it. You're wrong. I'm like, no, that's not. And so, in fact, when we get to the corrections and apologies, I have a couple where you were like, this is exactly true. And you're way off all the time.
I very slightly off.
You're just
sometimes.
You're just one of those people. A know-it-all. It's just like, I said it's right, so it's right, and you're wrong.
Well,
and I just let you win. So that's the nature of our thing.
That's very untrue.
So
very
we would,
unfair.
If you weren't here right now, we would go into, until next episode, we would believe Solange is Beyonce's mom.
Well, Beyonce's mom is like her manager, so that's why I thought.
No, her mom
that.
Is Dionne Warwick.
No, that's not true either.
Flogging Molly. They started in 97. Another kind of
ska kind of band, I think.
Oh, kind of white.
Oh, right.
White college
white
kid
Irish.
Band.
Yeah. Kind of like the Specials or something.
I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know a lot, but I think they do like Irish punk, like
Foggy Molly. I don't know,
like punk ska, Irish.
Okay.
Whatever that the standard Irish thing. This is St. Patrick's Day, by the way.
Oh, so we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day, so we're all a couple hop slams deep. We've all drank.
You
three
are a couple
hop slams.
You yeah. have drank of the.
Well, I'm on my third hop slam.
What is that traditional? Like, is it all the? I'm thinking Irish music. It's like maybe it's an accordion or something, or that's always kind of in the background.
Who cares? Who cares? Yeah, okay. Shut up.
I'm going to shut up now.
Okay, here's your. Now I always add a little trivia in. So
were we doing that?
Well, I'm saying them and you're listening to them, but this one I have you guess.
Okay.
What year do you think White Stripes formed?
1997.
Right. You got it exactly
See,
right.
I know things.
Yeah, White Stripes formed in 1997. I should have formed that question differently.
You should have. That was not a
But aren't
a hint
you surprised?
So
you are pretty dumb.
Aren't you surprised the White Stripes?
Yeah, I'm surprised they were around.
I didn't think it was that long ago.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they must have played for
again,
a while.
They
before
were like teenagers. Didn't they, like, when they had a garage band?
I think it was just him and his sister. They were married.
I think his sister's name is Solange.
Yeah.
No.
That's his mom.
Meg White is his wife. They were married.
Oh,
Jack
right?
White and Meg
I
White.
Think I thought they were siblings.
But people,
for a long time.
There was a big rumor that they were siblings.
Oh, that
and
they
married.
Were married. Ooh, but they're secretly siblings. So that
no, there was a rumor that they were actually. I can't remember what it was. They were.
They were kind of like me and you, but in
I
music
I feel like
world.
I'm feeling in right now. That
probably the greatest band in American history was also formed in '97.
Grand Funk Railroad.
And they're twins. The band is made up of twins.
Thompson Twins.
No.
Millie
in '97.
No. I know. That's Millie the only
Vanilli
one I can
think of.
The twins.
The greatest twin.
Oh, the tattoo. Those two girls from Russia.
I don't know
tattoo.
What that is.
Oh,
that's you just
said,
made
oh,
that
the
up.
Thing just said,
I
oh,
think it was a dream you had.
Nelson, but '97's way too. Yeah.
That was a dream you had. There's no such thing as a tattoo.
You guys aren't going to get
yeah,
this.
Yeah, they did a pro wrestling theme song for wrestler Victoria in WWE.
Oh,
pro
wrestling.
Oh, my God. I'm in hell
did you
now.
Just bring up pro wrestling?
I'm in hell right now. I'm going to be totally overpowered this whole
this podcast,
aren't I?
This podcast is taking a new turn.
I'm not going to get a word in edgewise, am I?
Well, you know, 80s Pro Wrestling Picks on Twitter tweeted about our show.
No.
So all the followers, they have... On
so
Instagram
I have to
and
more.
Twitter. So we're picking up a lot of wrestling fans.
Okay.
So they'll be happy that Andy's here.
Yeah.
No, it's you guys are both wrong. It's the Yin Yang Twins.
I've never heard of that in my life.
I don't know if I have either.
Booty, 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 rocking every well. Rocking every well. Rocking every well.
That sounds...
I found you.
All right.
Miss New Booty. Get us together.
That's enough of that.
I still have not heard of them.
Right to me. The Yin Yang Twins?
You've just told me about them, and I have still not heard of them.
You're a terrible person for not liking the Yin Yang Twins. Now on to the...
Neither of us care.
The bands that nobody's ever heard of that have great names that were formed in 97.
All right.
And I'm just going to go through these quick. Goat Whore. Major Organ and the Adding Machine.
Dumb.
Nucleus Tom.
That's my new favorite name.
Omar Goodness.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, my goodness.
All right, that's pretty good.
I listened to some Omar Goodness, and I got to say I like it.
You did like
so it. So it's kind of like Weezer-ish, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Pork Tornado.
That I like.
Yeah. They're a country band.
Pork Tornado.
I'm kind of surprised I didn't go with Porknado, but I guess that was before the Sharknado.
You know what
phenomenon.
I should do? I go through these names, and you guess what genre they are.
Oh, that's a good
Pork
one.
Pork Tornado. I already
country.
Told you country. Scrotum Grinder. What do you think?
That punk? Might have something to do with metal.
Nope. Close.
Punk? Oh, punk?
Punk, yes. I think they're punk. Okay. Here's the bands that broke up in 97. Right. 7 Year Bitch.
Oh, yeah.
You know who they are?
Yeah, they're in the L7 vein.
That was the other...
The reason we talked about them, in episode...
Episode, four?
Three?
Was it three or four?
I think three was when we talked about that punk rocker that died, Maria Zapata.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mia Zapata.
Mia Zapata. Because she was...
And there was you mentioned the Home Alive charity that was founded on her, and I had there was a double album that Pearl Jam did a song on.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So
you have that album?
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Sweet.
Cool. Throwback to that episode.
Yep.
Anyway, 7 Year Bitch broke up in 97. Ass Factor. Oh, no, actually, I'm
ass
sorry.
Factor.
Ass Factor 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not Ass Factor 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
Ass Factor,
right.
they're still fine.
They're still going strong.
Ass Factor 4 broke up. Okay. Bikini Kill broke up.
Yeah.
And I know them because I talked about them because the lead singer was also involved in that whole thing because she's married to Ad Rock.
That's right.
Currently?
Yeah. She's currently
post
married to Ad Rock.
Sky.
Yes. Post Ione Sky. Dinosaur Jr. broke up.
I remember them.
They've been not forever.
Oh, they got back together?
Yeah.
Well, they originally broke up in 97. So did EMF.
Rand Fundak will kill me for not exactly knowing this, but Dinosaur Jr. is basically a guy named Jay Maskus, and I think he just sort of...
He's just one guy?
Like, he's the main
It's kind
guy.
Of a dumb name.
The only thing I know about Dinosaur Jr. is in college, a girl who was punk-ish. Like she was, I don't know if she was trying to be punk or she was punky or whatever. And she was like, I love Dinosaur Jr. And she left that CD at her house. And then I was like, oh, this is what cool people that like punk like. And I tried to listen to it and like it, and I just didn't.
He's kind of a weirdo sound. There was one song I knew and I can't remember.
I don't care. EMF broke up in 97.
Mm-hmm.
They kept going. EMF is going to rock, yeah.
Or
oh, that's KLF.
KLF.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's right. Andrew Dice Clay was in it. That's right.
Yeah, he was in the band.
The Fugees broke up in 97.
Oh, wow, that long ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
One time.
That drives me nuts. That song would be amazing if freaking Will I Am didn't go one time in the middle. It's just this beautiful killing me soft.
I don't think that's Will I Am that does that.
Isn't it? Isn't he the guy from the Fugees? They did Gone to November. I'll be gone.
No, that's not Will I Am. Will I Am is from the Black Eyed Peas. That's
see now he's going to
Wyclef Jean. All right. The point is, I don't like it when Wyclef Jean sings in that just yells one time in the middle of this.
One time.
I wish there was a version without that in it that I could have.
Soundgarden broke up in '97.
Oh, sad. Yeah. Sad. They were so good.
Swallowing Shit broke up in 97.
No, really?
That's not a joke.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I didn't look up. I should have looked up what genre they were.
Yeah.
Tony broke up in 97. Although they're back together. Ugly Kid Joe.
I think Tony just couldn't get along with Tony anymore. Is that the problem?
Well, maybe Tony should have intervened.
I know. He was always the mediator between the Tony and the Tony.
I know. If Tony would have just talked to Tony about Tony,
yeah.
Tony would still be together.
Exactly.
Didn't they all have a different spelling?
Yeah. T-O-N-Y, T-O-N-I, T-O-N-E with a
That's
line.
So stupid.
But luckily, I think Tony did talk to Tony, because now Tony's and Tony's back together.
Thank God. Although, for the rest of the world, thank God.
I think Tony left and never came back, so it's really Tony, Mark, Tony.
Okay. Tony and Mark.
Tony, Mark.
Would Mark be with them if they had no loot?
If I had no loot.
All right, what else? What else?
If I had no loot. Swing woman nuts. All right. Urge Overkill broke up.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Ugly Kid Joe, I said, we just breezed over it.
Yeah,
and Whitesnake broke up not till 97. So they were, those poor fools were trying
to
make
it work. They were like at Six Flags in Eureka, Missouri.
Six Flags.
They made it work for a long time.
They were, touring.
While you're waiting in line for the...
For the roller
killer
coaster.
Creep roller coaster. Yeah, here's Whitesnake.
Yep, that's right.
That's enough, Sliffin.
The Oscars, really quick. Billy Crystal hosted it that year. English Patient won everything from the previous year. So the Grammys. Do you know who hosted the Grammys in 97?
Who cares?
Oh,
that's right.
They're awful?
Who wants a Grammy?
What?
Simpsons did a great joke once.
You hate the Grammys?
Yeah, I mean, who cares? It's always a lot of crappy music.
Miss Gaitros would be very disappointed in you.
You're into the MTV Music Video Awards.
Yes, that I was nuts about. No.
But are there any awards for music that you care about?
No.
The Fluffies?
I kind of hate award shows in general because there's 100,000 of them.
Well, you're going to hate this next part because the next 20 minutes are award shows.
All right, let's talk about Grammys.
God.
No, Ellen hosted. Babyface won 6 Emmys. Or Grammys, sorry.
Emmys. 6 Emmys for
He's on Days of Our Lives.
Oh, he won 6 Grammys, but here's the crazy thing. I thought Babyface just wrote all of BBD's music.
Yeah.
He had his own songs.
He wrote, but he wrote, I can't believe how many. You know, we went to that New Edition concert. He wrote everything.
Yeah.
But he won 6 Grammys. He won them from Eric Clapton songs, like everything that year. Yeah.
Wow.
Whitney Houston songs. Like Babyface has done everything. He's probably
the most prolific songwriter.
Yeah. He's American music.
I didn't know
Babyface. Like without Babyface, we would all be just.
Yeah. I think like all hip hop R&B from 1987 until 2004.
Probably.
He wrote all of it.
It's Babyface. Wow. It's just Babyface.
Just Babyface. Yes.
Yeah. That guy's crazy. Amazing. Yeah, you should date him.
No, I'm married to you.
I was talking to Andy.
Oh, okay.
That's not a sip, man. Princess Diana was killed in Paris, France in a car crash.
Oh, I remember
crash.
That. Yeah.
Is that your murder story?
No,
I wish that was. You should talk about her.
Well, it wasn't a murder. Well,
we don't know.
We don't know.
Would have done some research.
But I remember I was out at the clubs and I was living at my mom's and I came home and
because you graduated.
I turned on Saturday Night Live and
they did a parody of Diana.
No, they broke in to Saturday Night Live, and the news came on that she died, and it was kind of a big deal at the time.
Yeah, I remember like breaking news and it being crazy.
It right into Saturday Night Live,
and I always felt guilty because I always wondered like, why does anybody care about her? Like,
she did a lot of humanitarian stuff.
She really
though.
Did.
She was
a
good. She was a good person.
Well, everyone just talked about how beautiful she was.
She really wasn't that beautiful.
And she really wasn't. But I think compared to all the other British royalty,
just lost all our British audience.
Yeah, sir. Well, British royalty.
Royalty. Yeah, like, they're inbred.
No offense, but Prince Charles, not a looker.
No, that's right. It's
true. Not a looker.
You're right.
If he wasn't a prince, wouldn't get Fergie at all.
No, that's true.
Wasn't Fergie that he was married
to Sarah Ferguson.
No, that's,
they called her Fergie.
Prince Charles did not marry Sarah Ferguson. She was Prince Edward's wife. Was Sarah Ferguson.
Whatever, who cares? But she was also in Black Eyed Peas. So.
No, yes, she's
kind of cool.
Yes, she was.
Yeah. She's gotten younger. The top song was "Candle in the Wind."
I remember that
because of Princess Diana.
Oh, it was about her.
Right?
Originally, it was about Marilyn Monroe.
But he reworked it for her funeral called "English Rose," and it was the same thing.
Yeah. He knows so much shit. Yeah. We should keep him as like the keeper of the knowledge. Fucking Jambi over here. Make a fucking honey over there.
How exactly does Jambi?
I don't know.
I don't know. I just want you. You have my head to be in the box. Your head, yeah.
Okay.
So we talked on about Elton John last week, and we both admitted I don't really like any of his music. I keep trying to like it.
A few songs.
There's
a few here and there.
Like the one about the mouse and the cartoon or whatever. But did you know?
What?
Which one is the one about the mouse?
Are you
and
talking
about
Michael Jackson? No. That's how Michael Jackson song.
No, he sang one of those like a whole new world or something.
Oh, that was Lion King.
No, I don't know. Whatever.
You're thinking of Circle of Life.
That's Aladdin.
Circle of Life. I don't. Whatever. It's a mouse cartoon. Whatever. World Series champions of '97 were the Florida Marlins. I didn't look up anything about them.
They're from Florida. They're named after
they were
fish.
Relatively new. Because remember, they were an expansion team, but I don't remember much else. The Super Bowl champions were the Green Bay Packers. But
they had yellow helmets.
I do have the national anthem was sung by a new thing I'm just talking about. The new national anthem that year was sung by Luther VD.
Luther Vandross?
Yeah. Luther venereal disease?
Yeah, it doesn't sound good when I say VD.
No.
Luther
no.
Vandross. He was still alive. Halftime show. You want to guess? No.
You can't
guess. Three bands.
I don't know. Just tell us.
ZZ Top, James Brown, and the Blues Brothers.
Hey, I got James Brown.
But it's not the real Blues Brothers because obviously John Belushi's dead. So it was John Goodman,
and Dan Aykroyd promoting and
Jim Belushi.
I remember that.
They were, because they came out in 98, I think. Yeah,
so. There was three of them?
John? There was three of them, I never
saw
Blues Brothers 2000 because it was just like,
there was like five of them, and one of them was a kid. Just like, why would you watch that?
That sounds running
stupid.
Dan Aykroyd was all bloated, so it's just like, this is...
They're not even the real
whatever
Blues
was
Brothers.
Cool about the Blues Brothers in the
it's
late
over.
70s.
It was over. Just
done.
I
was
let
obsessed
it go.
With the Blues Brothers for a long time. But.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, the Chicago Bulls were the NBA champs. Detroit Red Wings were the Stanley Cup champs. And the NCAA football champions, the national champions, were Michigan Wolverines. Also, Nebraska. Two champions. Because they didn't. This was the last year before BCS when they actually had a championship game.
And that's why they said, fine, we'll do a BCS?
Yeah, I guess, because Michigan
none
and Nebraska
of this, tied. None of this makes any
Michigan
kind
Wolverines
of sense
great.
To me. I don't know what you're talking about.
NCAA basketball champions, Arizona.
God.
Wildcats.
Okay.
This is the thing. Amy insists every year. She's like, I know everything about horse racing.
No,
so
I'm not guessing
I
the
know
fucking
all
horse name.
The horse winners, and I'll name them every fucking year from now until the end of time. I'm going to do it forever.
I
and you can't
am
me.
Not... Then I guess the horse name.
That sounds Andy, like you're actually representing her.
Do you want to guess the horse winner, Andy?
Sorry, Butthole Johnson.
Oh, crap. You did your research.
Yeah, Butthole Johnson was the...
Oh, no, I read it wrong. Honest mistake.
Oh,
yeah. Silver Charm, not Butthole Johnson.
Oh, Honest Mistake was the name of the horse?
No, Silver Charm.
Okay,
here are some quotes from 97. Oh, my God, they killed Kenny. South Park started.
That I remember we were in the kindergarten room when we first saw South Park at Huron, and Melissa Thompson wouldn't stop laughing. She was crying.
And
she was laughing so hard.
This wasn't South Park. This was the Christmas
card
that Andy sent us from California. Andy
it was
California.
Jesus versus Santa.
Here's the thing how it started. Jesus versus Santa Claus was Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Andy, you might want to tell me about
it. It was called the Spirit of Christmas.
Right.
And apparently it was a little video these guys made as like they were hired to make it for as a some kind of Christmas card.
As a joke.
Or some kind of like a joke video. And then George Clooney somehow saw it because he was in whatever, and he loved it so much that he made like 300 copies and sent it all over the place.
So he sent it to people, and it got copied and copied and copied.
Yeah.
And you got a hold of a copy, and you sent it to us.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when we were in Ohio at the House of Fun, we had a VHS copy of this thing, and it was before South Park was a thing. Nobody knew what it was. It wasn't even.
It the first time we saw it though at Huron?
We brought it with us.
Oh, you brought it with
we
you.
We had it at the House of Fun. So everybody would come over to our house and be like, hey, play that video. You gotta play that video. And everybody that watched that video was Jesus and Santa Claus, these children like, cussing and stuff. Like now it's completely
overdone.
Mainstream. But then it was like, what the hell is this?
Jesus Christ and Santa Claus, and Jesus Christ is yelling, you fucking pussy, at Santa Claus.
Yeah. Right, and then these kids are yelling, fuck you, God, like all this shit. And it was like just off-putting these children. And, this little and so everybody would come over. We'd have parties and we'd be like, oh, put that video on. This is crazy. You're going to believe. And everybody would laugh their asses off. And then we brought it to Huron. Because we were like the cool king shit.
Yep.
And then I remember the first preview we saw when South Park was going to debut. They showed all the new shows on Comedy Central. They just showed snippets of everything. And there was a snippet of like the South Park characters. Like, holy shit, that's the kids from that video that we have.
Right.
They're going to have a show. And then it became so big, we weren't cool for having that anymore.
Right.
but it was cool while it lasted. I mean, it's super cool.
Yeah. And now that show is still going.
Yep.
It's 21 years.
I haven't watched it in probably 10 years.
Yeah, I haven't watched it a lot, but it's always still good.
Yeah.
When Nelson Mandela met the Spice Girls in 97, he described the moment as one of the greatest moments of my life.
Oh. Well, he did spend a good chunk of his life in prison.
That's right.
So that accounts for that.
His brain was gone.
Yep.
I mean, like, the bar is kind of low for that.
That's another seven.
Okay. Wrestler Bret Hart. This is actually in here. This isn't my stuff.
Okay.
Wrestler Bret Hart was unaware that he was going to lose the WWF Championship belt during the 1997 Survivor Series.
The Montreal Screwjob.
This is referred to as the Montreal Screwjob.
So normally they're all in on it when they're going
to
lose.
Yes, as you went on to this whole thing the other week about, it's not amazing. It's all fake. It's all scripted.
But this time it wasn't. He doesn't know he's going to lose. But this was the only time it wasn't scripted.
But it was pretty obvious to the fans and everybody else. All right. Brad Pitt sued Playgirl after they ran nude paparazzi pics of him and then girlfriend Gwyneth Paltrow on vacation.
I forgot they were an item.
Right. Yeah. Because we talked about last week her being married to all the Coldplay guys.
That's right.
I know this is American 100%. Timelines, but we're going to jump over to Japan real quick.
Oh, yeah.
An episode of Pokemon called Electric Soldier Porygon featured a scene with flashing lights which induced mass seizures in children across Japan.
Oh, my.
A subsequent news report replayed the offending scene and prompted more seizures.
What? Why would they play it again? Why am I laughing about it?
I don't know. It's terrible. I'm just picturing a bunch of children having seizures, then the news report, and then more people having seizures. It's terrible.
Gosh. That's pretty dumb.
That's crazy.
Well, and then the second time they played it, it must have been more people having, I mean, it wasn't just children having seizures then because everybody's watching the news. So then adults are having seizures.
More seizures, yeah. It's terrible.
It is.
Mattel released Share a Smile Becky Barbie doll, who was disabled and came with a wheelchair. However, the doll created controversy when it...
Because she still had giant boobs.
It was pointed out that the Barbie Dreamhouse was not wheelchair accessible and could not accommodate Becky's needs. God dang it.
Boom.
ADA.
Yep.
We need the ADA. Gosh.
Progress is slow.
Need some curb cuts in that Dreamhouse.
The Globe tabloid paper revealed an affair between Frank Gifford and Trans World Airlines flight attendant Susan Johnson.
Remember that.
The incident was at first not believed by his wife, Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yep.
But then it turned out to be true.
That's right.
And then that led to the infamous Regis and Kathy Lee episode where Frank Gifford showed up to try to apologize, and then Kathy Lee Gifford got on the table and delivered a high cross body block.
Yeah.
And pinned him for a three count and won the
championship. Oh, did Dave Hebner come out?
No, this is not.
It was actually Earl Hebner.
None of this is true.
It was Earl Hebner.
His twins, speaking of twins.
Yeah, speaking of twins, the Hebners. There were referees who were twins.
All right.
And one was evil. Okay, you guys want to guess the airplane celebrity death?
Thurman Munson.
Airplane celebrity death.
Nope, not Thurman Munson.
John Denver.
John Denver is correct.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Did he crash into a Rocky Mountain?
Rocky Mountain High?
No, he was high in the Rockies. Guess the hip-hop violent death?
I know it, Biggie.
It was Biggie. So remember last week?
I almost did Biggie.
But I also, that's one of our corrections and apologies, too, later.
Tupac was six months before.
Yeah, I mentioned that I thought Biggie was first. I got mixed up, Tupac was first. And so I was wrong. So that's why we didn't talk about it. So, rest in peace, Biggie. Movie and TV star death?
John Denver, we already covered it.
No, movie and TV star.
He was the Muppets movie.
That's not it. There's another one. Yeah. This was a cocaine and heroin overdose.
River Phoenix?
Nope.
Chris Farley?
Yes.
Wow.
Good. Chris Farley. And,
was he in a little coat when he died?
Oh, no.
Okay.
He died. I've been in the building that he died. He died in the Hancock Tower. He had an apartment there.
Oh, I've been in that building.
Yeah, and he had been at the Cheesecake Factory, I guess, was the last time they had seen him, which was in the building, which was kind of like, of course he was at the Cheesecake Factory. He's a big fat guy. But I have to mention this because this, not to make light of it, but in 97 when this happened, I distinctly remember this happening because Jeff Barton... friend of the show, Jeff Barton, idiot friend of mine in high school. He actually, the actor who played Shit Breath, Jeff Barton, who has now gone on to giant things. He called me that day and said, hey, how are you holding up? And I was like, and he was like, his voice was cracking.
Oh my God.
He had been crying. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, did you hear the news? I was like, what news? What's going on? I was like, Farley, man.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, yeah, Chris Farley. Oh, yeah, I heard. Yeah, that's crazy. He was like, oh, how are you holding up? I'm like, how am I holding up? I didn't know the guy. Fine. I was like, he just did that ninja movie that nobody liked.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills Ninja. I was like, I'm fine. He's like, oh, I'm just having a rough day. I just can't get anything done. I can't do anything. I'm just like.
Well, like at the time, it would have been like, what if Adam Sandler had died then?
yeah.
to you, because Adam Sandler meant a lot
to
you.
I mean, it was tragic. It was terrible, but he looked, I mean, he was not long for this world. He looked terrible.
He did. Yeah. I remember that. He was sweating and he was
screaming and sweating. Yeah, all hoarse. Horse. Yeah. It was all, I was like, oh, that's no surprise.
Yeah.
Okay, rock star death. Accidental autoerotic asphyxiation.
That would be Michael Hutchence of
NXS. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
I didn't know that every song is Suicide Blonde. Sorry. I used to like to make fun of NXS because every song sounded like Suicide Blonde.
I don't think.
Suicide Blonde.
Yeah. I agree.
Devil
he was cute, though.
Suicide Blonde.
Michael Hutchence.
He was?
Yeah. That was one of my first concerts.
NXS?
When I was like a ninth grader.
Who was in that with him? Do you remember anybody else?
Johnny Rotten.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't it weird?
Anytime it says Johnny Rotten, I just picture Rich
singing My Way.
Rich always does My Way, and it's Johnny Rotten, so he just screams at it, karaoke and everything. Yep.
That's actually Sid Vicious that does the version of My Way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, Rich always, says Johnny Rotten.
That's great. Rich is wrong.
Sex Pistols. But
oh, also, Armand Crisp, you're wrong, bitch. No, yep. That's funny, because NXS, I really, in my brain, I always think of A-ha.
Oh.
And, like, they're Men Without Hats. Like, all those lead singers are the same to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
maybe I was too young in the '80s.
Maybe their first hit, "The One Thing," is the one that didn't sound like Suicide Blonde. Yeah. Everything else afterwards,
yeah,
Suicide Blonde.
All right. Well, he died. Do you know? Do you guys remember Melissa Drexler?
No.
No.
She gave birth in her high school bathroom during prom.
Oh my God!
She discarded the baby in the trash and returned to the prom.
Oh my God!
She was sentenced to 15 years for manslaughter, but was released on parole. So she killed the baby. 37 months. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't. I remember something like that.
No one can know I'm having a baby at prom.
I don't remember that at all.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, yeah. That
high school crazy. I've heard like 400 stories like that since then.
You have?
Yeah, it's always like awful. I didn't know I was pregnant. There's a whole reality show about that.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
About accidentally giving birth in the toilet.
In the toilet,
oh, yeah. I know someone, a friend, a sister of a friend. I'm not going to say the name because in case this picks up steam.
Right, of course. It's really
but she gave birth in the toilet. She had no idea she was pregnant. And this child was born in the toilet.
How can you not know you're pregnant?
That's what I kept saying. How could she not know? It's crazy. But she said she had periods the whole time.
Unless you're a real heavy person.
She had put on, she wasn't. But what? She had put on some weight, but she wasn't heavy. But she...
Did the baby survive?
Yeah, he's fine. He's doing great.
What?
He's like 12 now or something.
That's bizarre. And he was born in a toilet.
He was born in a toilet.
Every
time she tells me about her sister, I'm like, oh, how's toilet baby? Or she talks about her nephew or whatever. I was like, oh, is that toilet baby? Or is that not? She always says, yeah, that's toilet baby. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I'm not going to bring up
that's so bizarre.
That's great. Yeah. toilet baby. Do you remember the 60s? Maybe you remember. Do you remember the 60s TV show Lost in Space?
Yeah.
It was when it was written. It was supposed to take place in 1997.
So it was
RoboCop,
the first RoboCop.
That was
supposed to take place
in 1997.
And Predator 2, I believe, was supposed to take place in 1997.
So that's bullshit. By 1997, we should have had people lost in space. We should have had a fucking robotic cop
And the Predator,
and a fucking Predator walking around.
Invisible Predator.
Danny Glover needed to fight an alien in outer space that was hunting people in Los Angeles.
Danny Glover rules.
Yep.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Yeah, he was too old for that shit, though.
That's true.
Yep.
Oh, do you know Andy, Mr. Nerd Comic Idiot? Nerd Dick. that's what we call you.
That is my name. That's my business card. Mr. Nerd Comic Idiot Nerd Dick.
Yep, that's right.
That's the name of my hobby shop.
That's your hobby shop. Oh, Nerd Dick Idiot, whatever I said.
You already forgot.
I already forgot.
Mr. Nerd Comic Idiot Nerd Dick.
comic shop. anyway, have you ever heard of the great comic strip Switcheroo of 97?
Oh, the one where Dennis the Menace and the Far Side switched their...
Several large comic strips switched creators for a day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard about that. I was thinking about the time when the caption from Dennis the Menace was under the Far Side and the Far Side was under Dennis the Menace, and it actually worked, and it was kind of weird.
It was an accident. No, that's not that. You idiot.
Like Dennis the Menace was talking about eating people or something like that. I don't know. Eating rats. Because the other one was about snakes. Anyway. Yes, Hagar the Horrible guy drew Far Side or something like that.
Hagar the Horrible is world renowned as the greatest.
No, the Wizard
piece
of Id.
Art.
The Wizard of Id. Wizard Shue of Id. And High and Lowest.
Shue is the greatest.
Are
you up to date on Shue?
No.
Okay. What about Ziggy? You can't forget him.
What about when Funky Winkerbean? Like, remember when they like jumped. Skipped ahead? Like they didn't age, and then suddenly they did. Now they're old.
Yeah, that was weird.
And, like. There's a whole...
There's like a rape. Drama. Isn't there like a rape?
Yeah, and like somebody died of cancer. It was just this huge...
I want to read a comic strip about rapes.
Yeah. It used to be Wacky High School Hijinks, and then it became old person
rapes and cancer.
Old person rape. It was like raping old people.
It was not.
Oh, the funny papers aren't funny anymore. They're filled with rape. Morgan Freeman offered to cover the cost of prom for a Mississippi school that held two racially segregated proms every year, provided that the one Freeman would be covering would just be one racially integrated prom.
Good for him.
The offer was refused until 2008.
So they were segregated till 2008?
Yeah. Mississippi is crazy.
Well, in 96, we said that they didn't get rid of the slavery.
They didn't ratify Mississippi.
Until 96, so...
Yeah.
God, that place is backwards.
Yeah.
1997, on April Fool's Day, Alex Trebek and Pat Sajak fucked.
No. No,
Alex Trebek and Pat Sajak swapped places on Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. as an April Fool's Day. They swapped fluids.
Good.
Man. Live on TV on the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. Now, I'm not...
69 on the Wheel of Fortune.
They did. I'm not gay, but I would love to see Pat Sajak...
Oh, here we go.
...just bang the hell out of Alex Trebek for, like, hours.
I think that's gross.
Annie, do you take Lipitor?
Lipitor! I will get you, He-Man.
I will destroy your cholesterol! I am Lipitor! Lipitor was invented in 97.
Jeez.
He destroys cholesterol.
Yes.
I can't hear that word without thinking.
Lipitor! Yes. Cost of a Super Bowl ad 97, do you think, Amy?
$2 million.
No.
It was the cost of a head of cabbage.
$1,200,000.
Oh, I couldn't remember what it was last time.
Did we discuss the Montreal Screwjob in depth, or did we skip over it a little bit?
We kind of skipped over it because you were like, what's wrestling, gang? I'm a piece of shit. This is my favorite.
Basically, it was a big deal.
I got more wrestling stuff. The Royal Rumble in 1997. The big deal. Well, I didn't get to the WrestleMania, so I don't know what happened. But I just watched it on the WWE Network. You can advertise for $10 million a second.
All right. Keep going.
Anyway. Stone Cold Steve Austin was throughout the whole Royal Rumble. He was there for like 40 minutes. And several times he was the only person in the ring. Like, yeah. He would beat somebody and then he'd like lay down and rest and somebody else would come. And several times, like, he kept the crap.
Sit on the turnbuckle and look at his watch.
And look at his watch and wait. And he would wait for people. And there were several times where he got the shit kicked out and he thought he would fall over and he'd come back in. So then they clear out and it's just all of a sudden. And Stone Cold gets thrown over the top rope.
Yeah.
And he's out. He's eliminated. Mm-hmm. His feet hit the floor and everything. He's all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
He slides back in and he eliminates a whole bunch of people. The last person he eliminates is Bret the Hitman.
Yeah.
And Hitman's like, hey, dude, you were out. What the shit? But the refs didn't see Stone Cold leave. So Stone Cold won.
So it was a ref bad call.
It's another controversy, yeah.
Oh, the refs and pro wrestling.
It's a screw job.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a screw job.
That's got to be a thankless job to be a ref in the pro wrestling world because they are always getting chairs hitting on them.
Well, that's it. They get like barely touched and they're out cold for just enough time to not see what happens with a purse or something. But that leads me to believe that that was the beginning of the year and the Survivor Series was in November, the Montreal screw job. That's kind of the theme. Like, that was a screw job. Like, I think the Montreal Screwjob was fake.
What? You think?
I think it was.
No. Like,
he thinks it's real.
Bret Hart was leaving the company.
Right.
He was going to WCW, which was threatening WWF at the time because it was taking all their stars and threatening to put them out of business. But what happened was Bret Hart was going to leave the company, and he arranged it, so he was going to retire or leave the company as the champion and just like sort of vacate the title.
Yeah, I listened to this on Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard. To Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard.
Okay.
That's a popular podcast that you should listen to.
Listen to that podcast.
You wouldn't like it.
Basically, what happened was he was in a match with Shawn Michaels for the World Championship. The plan was for him to beat Shawn Michaels and then go off the next day as a champion, but Vince McMahon was not thrilled with that, the head of the WWF. And so instead, when there was a spot earlier in the match where Shawn Michaels had Bret Hart in a submission hold, Vince McMahon called for the bell to ring and said Bret Hart had tapped out and quit, so Shawn Michaels became the champion. Bret Hart was all pissed about his grand exit being ruined, so he spat on Vince McMahon.
Yeah, he punched him in the face, I think. Yeah, he actually went backstage and punched him in the face, according to the legend.
And it was a big actual feud.
That wasn't on TV, though?
No, that wasn't on TV. That was all. Oh. But it was all...
The spit was, but...
Oh, the spit was, but the punching in the face was like you could hear it, right? Or something. But
I don't know about that.
It was released later as a movie on Netflix or whatever, the Bret Hart thing, and you could yep.
All right.
So that's the wraps up basically 97.
All right. Well, I got
that's 97 in a nutshell. And thank you for joining us for American Time. Oh wait, now Amy's gotta go into some gross murder.
Deep dive.
Judy Smith was this nurse from the Boston area who had recently married a man named Jeffrey Smith, who was a lawyer. And he had to go to a conference in Philadelphia.
All right.
So she's going to go with him.
Oh, she's going to go with.
See some sights. You know, they're kind of newlyweds.
All right.
So they when they get to the airport to check
seems
in
seems like it's taking
flight,
advantage of the company. It's just my...
Well, it doesn't matter.
This is what I
when,
have against
when
this.
They get to the airport to check in to their flight, Judy suddenly realizes she forgot her driver's license, which was a new, pretty new thing that they had to do, was to have a driver's license to fly.
Oh,
so
right.
She realized
oh,
she didn't
have
it.
A driver's license. She had it.
So she told her husband that to go on ahead, and then she would go get her driver's license and then catch a later flight and meet him.
Oh, meet him in Boston.
In Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, sorry.
Yes. So that evening, she caught up to him in the holiday of in the lobby of the DoubleTree Hotel.
Oh, they did get retouch with each other.
That's
the DoubleTree.
The DoubleTree Hotel.
Okay.
Where the conference was being held. So
convenient.
The next morning, they get up and he goes down to breakfast, and then he comes back and
the continental breakfast?
Yeah.
Are we thinking like waffles, like those liquid waffles that probably. Some lady in a moo-moo is like. Yeah. Just hogging everything, and you have to like, ma'am, you've had enough Fruit Loops. Yeah. Can you please step away from the
continental
breakfast?
So they decide that she's going to go walk around and see the sights, and he's going to go do his conference stuff for the day.
Oh, honey, I saw the Liberty Bell. I saw the Rocky statue.
And then they would meet up later for dinner.
Cocktails.
And she has this red backpack that she always has.
You always got to bring the red backpack.
Carries around with her everywhere she goes.
Judy. What was her name?
Judy.
Judy, do you have to bring your damn red backpack?
So she
everywhere?
Wanted to go see the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall and all these other things. Mm-hmm. There's a cocktail party at 6 that night.
There's a party that night at 6. So she's out seeing the sights.
Yes. So
with
when
a fucking red backpack.
That's right.
She insists on taking it everywhere.
That's right. When he finishes.
And he's doing work. Like he's working.
Yeah. When he
and here's the wife just.
All right.
Judy all with right. a fucking backpack. Sorry.
Listen.
Sorry.
So then when he finishes for the day.
He's done with the day with his conference.
Goes back up to their room and she's not there.
Oh my God. Where's Judy?
So
fucking backpack.
He assumes backpack that she. There? No, nothing's there.
Nothing.
So he assumes she returned and changed and went to the party ahead of him. And when
that bitch went to the party without me, is what he's thinking.
That's what he's thinking.
He assumed.
So when he goes downstairs to check, fucking though, she's Judy. Not there. So he keeps going back and forth between the room and the party different times.
Shit,
and
where
can't
the fuck
find
is
her.
Judy?
Don't know where she is.
Now
this is 97
mind.
Before cell phones.
We don't have cell phones.
That's right.
You
that's
can't
right.
text.
So he goes to the concierge and asks her, and then they start calling hospitals to see if
calling hospitals is what you did before cell phones.
Well,
you just started calling
she's
hospitals.
Missing. He knew she was out by herself.
Well,
in
yeah.
the city somewhere.
I know. I'm just saying how crazy that is. That's what you would do.
So
that's insane. You just call hospital. Well, here's the list of all the hospitals. Do you have Judy with her? She's got a red backpack.
So Jeffrey. Finally leaves the cocktail party and he pays a cab to go around it to follow the route.
Wait a minute.
Of the tour bus that
he
she was
taking. Finally leaves the cocktail party, so he's having a couple cocktails.
He's had it, probably. I don't know.
My wife is missing in Philadelphia.
I don't know. That's what it says. Anyway. So he gets a cab to follow the route that this tour bus was taking around Philadelphia that she was planning to use.
Oh, keep in mind you can't take an Uber because that's not a thing yet.
Correct.
So he has
you take a cab. He's going the route that she wanted to go see all the sights. The Liberty Bell.
He calls his stepchildren and asks one of them to go to the house and check the answering machine.
His stepchildren.
Yeah, her kids.
Her kids, but not his.
Right.
Okay.
So
check the
nothing.
Answering machine.
Don't have anything.
Yeah, because you have to check the answering machine. That's
right.
What you had to do.
Finally, he goes to the police after around midnight to report that
he didn't go
missing.
To the police till midnight.
Well, he's been looking. He doesn't know.
All the hospitals had nothing.
Nothing. The Philadelphia police tell him they can't file a missing person report until 24 hours after, which I think is different now. I think that was, and I'm not positive about
a missing person. I think you have to wait still a certain amount of time.
I know that used to be a thing, but I think at least with children, that's not a thing anymore. So
because now we have Amber Alerts because we all have phones that we stare at all day.
So he recalls that a detective said if he
play
wanted
Candy
to
Crush.
If he wanted to push it, he could file a report in the morning. So
push it.
Stop it. So
push it real good.
He does that. He goes in the morning.
He slept in the hotel, the DoubleTree, by himself.
Report. Yeah.
Without his wife, and then it went back in the morning.
Yeah, and went back to file their missing person report. There's nothing else he could do.
I mean, you know. As far as he knows, maybe she ran off with some other dude in Philadelphia and just cheating on him or something.
Didn't
necessarily know.
Well, she is Judy with her goddamn gaudy red backpack.
What's in that backpack?
Dildos. Like, backpack full of dildos is what I'm assuming.
Could be.
At this point.
That's true.
Sex
could
toys.
You never know, because he could be half worried and half upset and angry.
So he says the police were kind of dismissive of his...
Philadelphia cops.
Complaints. Yeah, he says there was resistance. He said that even 4 days later, he said this.
Four days later?
He says one of the cops was saying, she probably had a midlife crisis and is just doing this for attention.
And she has grown kids, and, so they're right. They're right. I'm with the cops on this.
So they also were focusing on him as a suspect.
Well, it's always the husband.
When you look at statistics, 85% and 90% of females are murdered or killed by a family member.
Anything happens to a woman,
family member,
whoever was their most recent love interest is going to jail immediately and being raped in prison.
That's probably true. So,
at any point during all this, did a punky kid come by who was shooting some b-ball outside of the school? A couple of guys.
That was 91. It was 91. This is 97.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So
they probably already sold the mansion. He's already to George, in Bel Air. Jefferson.
All right. So. Judy was a very experienced traveler, so she had gone to Thailand on her own to visit the family of a patient she had had.
So you really wouldn't worry about Judy.
So, right. But he also wondered why she would forget her driver's license since she's such an experienced traveler.
If you're so experienced, Judy.
But he told police that that was only an 18-month rule, and she had only flown once during that time.
So it only had been in place for 18 months?
Yes.
So maybe she took a break between Thailand and all the other places.
Yes, she did. So, according to police, only one other witness, a desk clerk, could corroborate him on having seen Judy at the hotel at all.
Only one desk clerk saw her?
Yeah, which did not have a guest register.
I assume no security cameras or anything?
No,
either.
Until another conference.
They didn't have those.
Then another conference attendee recalled in August that he had seen her in the lobby when she arrived. The police were still cautious. They were still like, was she ever even really in Philadelphia?
So they think the husband is making out, like he murdered her in Boston.
Yeah, and he just went by on his
and
own.
And just flew, and she may have never come because he flew by himself.
Right,
so
right.
So that might be his cover, which is brilliant.
The airline didn't confirm her presence either? Or do they just not care because they got so many people every day?
Yeah, I don't know if
you got to do some more research.
How many red bad packs do they see in a day?
Goddamn Judy.
A female detective who searched the Smith's hotel room said it struck her as unusual that the clothes Judy left behind did not appear to have been worn at all, suggesting she wore the same clothes both on her flight from Boston the day she disappeared.
Yeah, Judy's
nor did
of...
she appear to have brought any cosmetics.
Well, she was sort of a natural.
But the daughter
woman.
Said those were both typical behaviors of her mother. So.
Yeah, they were like, Mom doesn't wear a lot of makeup. She wears a lot of the same clothes every day. Mom kind of smells. It's that backpack.
The police also made much of
she
what
smells
they.
Like cat pee.
The police also
has ham in it.
Made
has
much of ham. What they asserted was Jeffrey's refusal to take a lie detector test. But he said he never refused. He only insisted that any such test be administered by the FBI, and if he passed, the police formally request that the bureau assist with its investigation. Which to me makes sense. God damn it.
Son of a bitch.
We'll pause because Joe is an idiot that spilled water all over everything in the world.
Okay, so.
Right, so where were we at?
So he
back
said,
up a little bit. Redo everything. Let's start over.
He all the completely.
From beginning. The Super Bowl champions.
All right, the police also made much of what they asserted was Jeffrey's refusal to take a lie detector test.
Right.
But he said he never refused. He only insisted that if the test was administered, it would be administered by the FBI, and that if he passed,
rather than the local
police would formally request that the Bureau help with the investigation.
At this point, he's not trusting the police because the police are being dismissive.
Well, and there's so many cases where the police have all this pride, and if it's a missing person, they don't call the FBI. And the FBI has all of these. FBI has all these tools that they.
Also, there's a thing with lie detector tests. They're not really conclusive.
They're not admissible in court.
You tell me every night before bed, I say, good night, honey, I love you. And you say, I don't really believe in lie detector tests.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm not taking
so you know, that's
and then
right.
You go, we roll over to sleep.
So there's a couple possible sightings of Judy in the days after she disappeared. The newspapers and television ran stories about the case. Okay. Jeffrey and friends and family put up flyers with her picture, and so this led to reports of sightings. A number of reports described a woman who matched Judy's description but appeared to have psychological issues.
So white woman, red backpack, crazy.
Yeah, she was described by the staff at Society Hotel as their weirdo of the week when she stayed there between April 13th and 15th, signing in as H.K. Collins. While there, and you'll love this, she masturbated in front of an open window, spoke to herself in tongues, and then loudly claimed the emperor would wire her money when she needed to extend her stay.
Did the emperor ever do that?
No. But
are we talking Star Wars emperor or Japan emperor?
Also, did she have the red backpack on while she was masturbating?
Maybe.
That's what I really want to know.
Another report.
Wait, back up. Yeah. What were the dates she's staying at the hotel?
This is just a woman matching her description.
Right.
April 13th and 15th.
And what were the days she was missing and all that? Do we know that? April 9th and 10th?
Yeah, it was like that.
Oh, speaking of April 9th, just to get a perspective here, April 9th, the top songs were Puff Daddy, Can't Nobody Hold Me Down, The Spice Girls, Tell Me What You Want, What You Really, Really Want, and Jewel, You Were Meant For Me. And on TV that night, on April 9th, were Men Behaving Badly on NBC. Remember that show?
No.
This was set in Indianapolis. The show starred Rob Schneider, Ron Eldred, and Justine Bateman. And
you remember that?
Yeah, it was based on a British show, I think.
Yeah, it was.
I knew Rob Schneider was in it.
It was a spinoff of a... It was like a copy of a British show. Justine Bateman later quit the show because Rob Schneider was such an asshole.
Yeah, he still is, I think.
But Arsenio was on ABC that night also. Not Arsenio Hall, the talk show.
What?
He had a sitcom called Arsenio.
That's correct.
He did?
Where he played a guy named Mike.
What?
So why the hell was the show called Arsenio?
Arsenio. That's stupid.
It was set in Atlanta, Georgia, and Hall starred as Michael Atwood, the host of a sports cable show on ASTV in Atlanta. He is also a newly married man with his lawyer wife, Vivian Vicky DeVoe Atwood, played by Vivica Fox.
All right.
I remember that show.
Yeah, you remember that show?
I never watched it, but I remember thinking, this is Arsenio Hall's one chance to come back, and then it sucked.
Didn't work.
So,
and then April 10th. Is this all we're talking about, April 10th, or are we going to get April 10th more?
No, that was it.
Slim Jesus was born on April 10th, 97.
No
He's
idea.
A horrible rapper. Look him up on YouTube and try not to kill yourself.
Okay. Another report mentioned a woman at the junction of Broad and Locust Street around 3 p.m. on the day Judy was last seen, and this woman looked disoriented. And then there were some other reports of a similar woman also apparently disturbed in the neighborhood, but both the police and the family believe that the people that saw this woman were confusing Judy with a local homeless woman who looked similar to her. There was another homeless man in the same area who, when they showed Judy's picture to him, he insisted that he saw her, and he knew the other homeless lady that they
didn't know that was two different people.
Yeah, and he knew
this was in Philly,
people.
Right?
Yeah.
In Philadelphia,
yeah,
right?
This is all. So sightings that seemed a more positive identification were centered around the bus, the tour bus that she was going to go on, and its route.
Okay.
A hotel employee said she asked later on the morning of April 10th where she could catch the bus nearby. A driver said he had picked her up early in the afternoon, and she was also reportedly seen entering and leaving the Greyhound bus terminal.
Oh, she's getting out of town.
The terminal is near Chinatown, and since Judy loved Chinese and Thai food, she might have gone there to eat.
I actually like Chinese and Thai food myself.
Yes. So
nothing
then,
better, some Pad See You.
She was also reported to be dressed shopping at Macy's and put
on some
places.
Dresses, taking some Pad See You on the Greyhound bus, filling up her red backpack.
And so there was different sightings of her.
Down by the red backpack.
Another one where she had been seen in Easton, which is 55 miles north of Philadelphia, a few days after going missing.
Huh.
The husband hired a private investigator.
That's crazy.
He hired private investigators to look for his wife, and then he faxed and mailed copies of his wife's missing persons flyer to hospitals all over the country, asking them to look for her.
Private investigators are always scumbags, aren't they?
Eventually, these efforts
like
helped to locate her.
Cops anymore.
Yeah.
Eventually, these efforts helped to locate her.
Oh, they do.
Sending
the stuff out to all the country.
However, she was not alive.
In the country. Oh.
So
found her dead?
On September 7th, 1997.
Oh, September 7th, 1997. Yes. That happens to be the same day as In Your House Ground Zero, a wrestling event.
Oh, my God.
That happened in Louisville, Kentucky. And the highlight of this wrestling match, the same night they found her body, apparently, was the same night as the Indecent Proposal match between Goldust and Brian Pillman.
Why wasn't it an Indecent Proposal?
Because
that's like
Goldust.
Sex for money.
Goldust's girlfriend was Marlena.
Oh.
And the match was whoever won the match got to keep the lady.
That's so sexist.
And
and Goldust's whole gimmick was being basically gay panic.
Oh.
Kind of. Like he was covered in gold stuff, but he had this hot chick lady that he was in love with.
I see.
And so the ref got knocked out by Brian Pillman. He accidentally like bumped the ref once. He was unconscious and hurt his eyes. And Pillman hit Goldust with Marlena's purse, which was loaded with something, you know, knocked him out and pinned. And then, so Brian Pillman takes Marlena into a car. And they show him in the alley. He runs off, or they force it into a car and goes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, this was not a great
era. It was terrible. It was a terrible era.
That sounds awful.
So, but also, that night, Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction was on. Remember that show?
I love that show.
We used to love that show.
I used to love that show.
It was so great. You'd always guess.
Which one was real?
Like, they were like, they had facts and fiction.
Fake ones.
And three story, and you have to guess.
And they were
real
all weird, like Beyond Belief stories. So they were all like Ripley's Believe It or Not.
We love that show.
But they would tell
is
you
the
at the
Yeti
end.
Yeti real? Is the Sasquatch real?
No, they would be like a like the story I'm telling right now.
Oh, okay.
But Maybe. Then they would say, was that did that really happen?
They would make up. Yeah, sometimes
you have to guess.
Oh, that was real. Oh, that was real. What?
Yeah.
That was great. And then Tom Arnold had a show called The Tom Show.
That's all we need to know.
The Tom Show.
Yeah, really.
We don't even need to know that part.
Nope.
Tom Arnold had a goddamn show.
That's awful.
That's
awful.
That's it.
So,
I think I have from September.
So on September 7th, 1997, a father and son were hunting for deer on a hillside in an area of North Carolina's Pisgah National Forest.
North Carolina?
Yes.
This is far away from Philadelphia,
yes,
just so you know.
This is the 600 miles away.
Those of you millennials who are listening who don't know geography, North Carolina is nowhere near Philadelphia.
600 miles away.
All right.
So they find what appears to be human bones near the Stony Fork picnic area.
The
bones have been scattered around an area 300 feet in diameter, likely by animals. At the center was a shallow grave where the majority of the skeleton remained, still partially buried and clothed.
Huh.
Some personal effects were found in the area as well.
Red bat.
The lead investigator on the case put aside his convalescence from recent back surgery to scout. Okay, that doesn't matter.
That's convalescence.
No, that makes it a TV movie.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I got to get out of
I got out of the bed.
Berman was playing that character.
So the state medical examiner determined that the bones of the then unidentified decedent were those of a white woman between ages of 40 and 55.
They tell by the bones that she was a white woman?
Yeah, they can.
That was 45?
Yep. They can.
Man, white
she
woman, 45 bones.
Extensive dental work and suffered from a severe arthritis in her knee.
That's Judy.
There were cutting marks on her ribs, and among the clothing recovered from the scene was her bra, which also had cuts and punctures.
What size bra?
Just wondering. The investigation concluded she'd been fatally stabbed, and her death was officially classified as a homicide. The remains did not remain unidentified for long.
Really?
An emergency room physician in Franklin, North Carolina, saw an article about the discovery in the newspaper and connected it to one of the flyers Jeffrey had sent out and faxed a copy of the article to the Philadelphia police. A detective there asked for Jeffrey for his wife's dental records.
Whoa. And they always use that.
They always use the dental records.
In those all those forensic files, dental records can
because nobody has the same teeth.
Guess so.
So they matched the dental work on the bones, and by the end of September, the remains were positively identified as Judy Smith.
She made it all the way to North Carolina.
Yes. So while the discovery of her remains ended the missing person, the homicide investigation it started posed new questions for the detectives, like,
mm-hmm. What the hell happened?
How the hell did she get 600 miles away and up in the woods, way up in this hiking trail?
With her red backpack was one of the belongings, right?
No. So, I'll get there. Her leg bones were still clad in jeans, thermal underwear, and hiking boots.
Huh.
These were not the clothes she was wearing when Jeffrey or any of the other witnesses who might have seen her in Philadelphia saw her, but they were what she might have worn while out hiking in the mountains around Asheville in mid-April. No wallet or other identification was found in her pocket. A blue and black vinyl backpack was found with the body.
That ain't hers.
In it were winter clothes and $80 in cash. A shirt buried nearby also had $87 in the pockets.
87 in the shirt.
So the combined $167 is consistent with the 200 Jeffrey believed she had on her at the time she disappeared.
How many? This is like 5 months later?
Mm-hmm. September.
That's crazy.
So the presence of the money and her wedding ring led investigators to conclude the robbery was not a motivation. However, her red backpack was not found, nor other clothes she was wearing when last seen.
That amount of money wouldn't still be there in 5 months, though.
It was there.
Who's got the same amount of money in their pocket 5 months later?
Well, unless she got something happened to her right away.
Huh.
So
yeah,
also
decomposed
a Sasquatch.
Point, so.
Oh, that's true. She might have.
She might have decomposed
all that time.
Dumped 600 miles away.
Because
so
it's just bones.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So, sorry. I apologize.
There was
everyone.
Also a there was also an expensive pair of sunglasses with the body that
Oakleys.
They were. I don't remember, but the family said she never would. They were like $100 sunglasses. And
she's not that kind of person.
Not
she's
the kind
a
of
frugal.
Person that would have bought those.
She's a frugal
so,
broad.
The family could not imagine why she might have gone to Asheville area.
Asheville.
According to them, she never expressed any desire to go there.
I really want to go to Asheville just for the breweries. There's a lot of breweries there.
Yep.
Now.
So,
probably wasn't
several people.
97.
20 years ago.
Several people in the Asheville area recalled having seen her
Asheville.
Or a woman matching her description in
really?
April. So, there was a clerk at a local store said that she was very pleasant. She was very
not
alert.
Crazy.
Not
like
crazy.
Out of it.
She talked about how her husband, they're from Boston, and her husband is a lawyer, and he's at this.
Boston.
Attending a conference in Philadelphia, and that she decided to go to the Asheville area. And an employee at the Biltmore Estates also recalled seeing her.
The Biltmore Estates? So she was telling people she left the conference without telling
That's
her
That's what
husband.
She said. And then at a campground
That's
near where
said.
Her body was found, the owner recalls she drove up in a gray sedan filled with boxes and bags, asked if she could spend the night there in her car, and drove away after learning she could not. A deli owner in the same area told police that she came up to her store in a gray sedan and bought $30 worth of sandwiches and a toy truck. So the theories, this is
30
the,
sandwiches.
This is winding it up. So investigators with the sheriffs, they have ruled out Jeffrey Smith. First of all, he was rotund. He was
he's a fat guy.
Gigantic man, and there's no way he could have drug her body all the way up in these hills and buried her.
Right. They just physically couldn't do it.
Physically unable to take in her body
so
at the slope
big,
where it was
big,
found.
Big buddy.
Yes.
He never mentioned anybody's size.
And his presence at the conference during the day she disappeared, he was also cooperated.
Yeah, he was there. So, but a lot, it seems like the dudes always hire somebody anyway.
Hire somebody else.
That happens. So it doesn't really clear it for me.
What was the company he worked for again?
He was a lawyer.
Fat Boston guy, fat Boston lawyer.
Fat Boston,
Boston Patriots fan.
So the
he loves Tom
detective
Brady.
Who investigated the case believes she was not abducted and she came to Asheville voluntarily.
Okay.
He wanted to determine how and why when in 1997. He did not believe Judy was killed elsewhere and dumped at the site due to the distance anyone, even someone in the best physical condition, would have had to carry her body to dispose of it there. So she was kind of a bigger woman, too.
Oh, they're and hefty so, folks. A hefty couple.
So they think she was killed there up in the hills.
And he never expressed any thought like, oh yeah, our marriage is going bad.
No, there was tension in the marriage, according to some sources. So she may even have planned to disappear for a while. While Jeffrey and her children did not say there had been any problems in the marriage, one of her friends said that there was tenuous relationships going on. Robbery was not a motive. It has also been suggested she might have encountered a local serial killer who had less than a year earlier left the raped and murdered body of one of his victims tied to a tree not far away. That was Gary Michael Hilton. But he was later...
That was in Asheville?
Mm-hmm. He was later arrested and convicted of that crime, as well as several other killings on hiking trails during the 2000s and has not been linked to Smith's killing. And it was also featured on an Unsolved Mysteries
episode. And you watched that, I'm assuming?
I did watch that, yes. So that is the story of Judy Smith.
It is still unsolved to this day.
It's still unsolved. There's no... Nobody knows why she ended up in Asheville 600 miles away and what happened to her.
She was going to go see the sights in Philadelphia, got on a Greyhound... Went to Asheville. Maybe got on the wrong Greyhound.
Yeah.
But got on the wrong you wouldn't bus. Have gotten off 600 miles and you wouldn't have said, I need to turn around.
Well, maybe she didn't realize.
She fell asleep?
Yeah. Just so could have fallen far. Asleep. Because, you know, no, jet lag from Boston. Because
Greyhounds don't just go like, they don't just, I don't think they just go like, oh, this one's going to here, then here, then here, and here. You can stay on. I think you have to buy a ticket to your destination.
Oh, I think that's true.
I don't think they just go like a city bus that just goes, you have to go.
Or maybe she didn't like her fat, sweaty lawyer husband and decided to get the hell out of Dodge and then went
hiking.
Place.
Yeah.
Maybe he wiped backwards.
Wait, did we get around to the red backpack? It got found.
Yeah, you never
it didn't get found.
Oh.
Well, why'd you bring it up?
Well, because they...
It really sounded like the way you brought up that it would be a thing. And here was the red backpack hanging from a tree.
The red backpack was never found.
I was just hoping for more on the red backpack thing.
Yeah. Was that a bad one?
No,
it was pretty good. Okay. I mean, I always feel kind of disappointed when I don't know what happened.
I know.
But that's what makes it a spooky mystery.
It's exciting, yeah. These mysteries is just like, I want to know. Now I want to know what the hell happened. And I like to speculate.
How she ended up there.
I think she probably just left him. And I wonder if some of those disillusioned spottings of her were her, like maybe having some kind of psychotic break or...
Maybe something was going on.
I mean, were there any reports of any mental health issues?
No, none.
None at all.
Yeah.
She asked for an aspirin and someone gave her
She got roofied.
Pill.
You never know. Somebody might have snuck something in her.
Yeah,
or
she didn't know what was going on. Or maybe, you know.
Yeah, or something. Had a stroke.
You
have a stroke and just be out of it. And
isn't that scary? Yeah. Imagine that. Like any of us could at any moment all of a sudden have a stroke.
And back then you didn't have a cell phone. Who knows where you ended up?
You don't know what you're going to, in a strange city, wandering around.
Corrections and apologies.
The first correction and apology that I have, the first correction from last episode is, briefly we mentioned Coldplay because they formed in 96 or 96. And I said briefly, I was like, oh, you got Coldplay mixed up with Dave Matthews. You said Crash Into Me was that. I was like, no, it wasn't. But I corrected you. That was right. But then I said, no, Coldplay I think is more rockish. I think they're all a bit more heavy. And they're not. And I also said they're probably pretty good. They suck.
Well, aren't they similar to Dave Matthews? Like, they're kind of
crappy. They're terrible. And I'm sorry. Anyone who likes Coldplay, if you're listening, I don't want you as a listener.
No, don't say that.
Stop listening.
Don't say that.
Fuck you, Coldplay fans. No, I'm just kidding. No. I still want you guys. I just don't get it. I don't get your... I mean,
it was all yellow.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I like them better.
Coldplay
than
fans
Dave
and Trump
Matthews.
Fans.
Do you like Coldplay?
I mean, I wouldn't say that because I know that song and I know they're...
I listened to like seven of them on YouTube. They all sound the same to me. They all sound like that yellow song to
me. They're all kind of dreary.
And they're all not good.
The Super Bowl halftime show once.
Yeah, they did. That's what I remember that being a thing.
But
that's
also with like Beyonce and Bruno Mars or something like that. So.
And I guess I just don't get it. Like, that's just not my thing. So I'm sorry. And Coldplay fans, we love you.
Your thing is Quiet Riot.
I love you guys. My thing is Quiet Riot. Come on,
that's the only music you like.
Quiet Riot.
Corrections and apologies.
said in the last episode that Gwyneth Paltrow, all of her children were named after fruit. I said she has a child named rutabaga, and she does not have a child named rutabaga. I didn't research anything else. I just wanted to admit that I was lying.
I think she's got a child named Moses, though.
That's not a fruit.
No, I know, but that's an awful name.
I bet if there was a fruit named Moses, it'd be delicious.
Maybe not.
Corrections and apologies.
I'm apologizing for you.
Oh.
You should apologize.
What is it?
You said there were not two Vanessa Williamses last episode.
No, but I know. No, you're thinking of the same one when you're thinking of the porn thing and the Miss America thing and the singer. That is the same one.
Several times I said there's not two Vanessa Williams, and you're like, no, there's just one. There's a Vanessa L. Williams and a Vanessa A. Williams.
But the one you're thinking of. They're both famous actresses. The one you're thinking of. That did the porn thing and the Miss America and the singing.
And, also,
was the same.
The other thing, it wasn't a porn. She did not do porn.
It wasn't a porn. It was pornographic still photos.
She did not authorize them. She did not pose.
Right.
They were stolen from Penthouse. Stole them and printed them.
Right, right.
And so she was forced to resign her crown or whatever. That's Miss America.
Yep.
Later, Miss America apologized and gave her stuff back. I guess because they were like, it wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
Or you're famous and successful, therefore.
Yeah that's
probably
right.
Why they did it too. Yeah. Who knows? They're all okay. And the other thing, but there were two. So admit there were two. Say it.
I'm sure there's several.
The other
one
was on ER or something, right?
Yeah, she was famous, famous. And she won an Oscar, a Golden Globe, or some shit. I shouldn't say.
Corrections and apologies.
And Richard Jewell, who you thought was Richard Hatch, he was the guy, the Atlanta bombing.
That's right.
And you decided to speculate on what happened to him because we didn't have the information. You said he probably killed himself.
Yeah.
Because that's always how those things end. He did not kill himself. Good. He had a heart attack. He was a heavier guy, so he had a heart attack and died.
He did get exonerated.
He did. He was completely exonerated, and they all apologized. And he sued a whole bunch of people.
Good for him.
Because late night talk shows defamed him, and they all just said he definitely did it. So he sued all of them and got a bunch of money.
Good. Did he die shortly after that? Or
no, a few years after. I think he died in, I should have written that down. But
okay.
He lived for a little bit, at least five years after that.
To see that he was exonerated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was alive for all that. And he won a bunch of money and lost it. Then he had a heart attack because he ate too many breakfast burritos.
Probably.
He died in 2007.
Oh, good. So he did live.
Another 10 years, at least. 11 years, so that's good. But I think it's about time to get...
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
Get out of here, Chuck Berry. Andy, you want to say get out of here, Chuck Berry?
Get out of here, Chuck Berry.
And please purchase...
get out here, dummy.
Get out here, dummy. Please purchase Matt Truman Ego Trip's albums. They're good.
Yep.
He's going to play some music now.
All right, good night.
Anything else? Fuck you guys.
Too legit.
Top 40 Japan, yeah.